Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today as we honor Governor John Winant. Today is the first dedication of a statue to a solo individual on the campus of the New Hampshire State House since Franklin Pierce's statue was dedicated in 1914. And I think in 1914, John Winant was an instructor at St. Paul's School. And with his love of history and his interest in New Hampshire politics, I almost imagine him being at that dedication. And now, 103 years later, we are giving honor to him. If you ask historians about Governor Winant, one word that always seems to come up, that he was a man of great humility. So this memorial we are dedicating today to Governor John Winant is far more than what he would have ever wanted, but far less than what he deserves. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would stand, I would ask the Army Band to play first the anthem of the United Kingdom, followed by the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner. If you would join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and please be seated. There's a great Irish tradition that says when it rains at a wedding, it's a sign of great joy. It signifies the angels in heaven crying tears of joy. And the few drops I'm feeling, you would like to think that the heavens are opening up in joy of the honor that we are giving to our esteemed Governor John Winant. Just a few words before I introduce our first speaker. I want to thank all of you for being here, and I want to thank everybody who donated to this project. Regardless of the amount, every donation was equally appreciated. I want to thank the state of New Hampshire, especially Mike Connor, the city of Concord, our city manager, Thomas Bell, and our mayor, Jim Boulay, for the support they gave to the logistics involved in this project. But I'm very happy that all the money that went to pay for the site work and the memorial itself was all done by private donations. Any funds left over will go into the John Winant Scholarship Fund at St. Paul's School's advanced study programs to enrich New Hampshire students and enable them to attend. Let me just introduce a few of our honored guests, and there are so many. We'd be here late into the afternoon if I named everybody. But I do want to name a few of the people that are behind me this morning. And if you would hold off any applause until the last person is named, thank you. The Dean of the New Hampshire Congressional Delegation, our former Governor and United States Senator Gene Shaheen. Our former Governor and United States Senator Maggie Hassan. My Congressman for the 2nd Congressional District, Andy McLean Custer. The Speaker of the New Hampshire House of Representatives, Sean Jasper. The Mayor of the City of Concord, Jim Boulay. And I want to also introduce to you Joan Goshgarian. Joan is known throughout New Hampshire for her own contributions to the New Hampshire arts. And she's also the wife of Van McLeod, the late Commissioner of Cultural Affairs. And I know Van is with us today, and as we have often said, Van truly was the heart and the soul of this project. And thank you, Joan, and thank you all. Thank you. At this time, I want to introduce the late Reverend Robert Hirschfeld, the Bishop of the Episcopal Church of New Hampshire, for invocation. Bishop.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bishop. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather to honor your faithful and diligent servant, John Gilbert Winant, who served us among us as educator, Army Air Corpsman, governor, civil administrator, and ambassador in a time of tremendous turmoil, uncertainty, and peril. We gather to express our gratitude for the example of Governor Winant's humility, integrity, wisdom, and commitment to the well-being of the citizens of our state, the nation, and the world. As he called us to remember in his words, "It is the things of the spirit that in the end prevail, that faith and hope count, and that without love there can be nothing good, that by daring to live dangerously, we can learn to live generously, and that by believing in the inherent goodness of humankind, we may learn again to strive forward together into the unknown of our own day with growing confidence. May words spoken this day lead us beyond mere expressions of gratitude for how one noble and courageous man acted in the past, but help us see in Governor Winant's inspiration to serve the common good and welfare of all people. May those entrusted with the authority of government in this and every land be endued with wisdom, compassion, and courage, that there may be justice and peace at home and abroad. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness. In the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee, Almighty God, to fail, nor our generosity and concern for others to falter. And all these we ask humbly in your holy name. Amen."
Thank you. Bishop. And I do want to thank the 39th Army Band for being with us today, and thank you for being here, and thank you for your service. I am very honored to introduce our first speaker, His Excellency, the Governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Governor. Well, thank you very much. Given the weather, I'll do my best to be brief. Not always an easy thing for me. But thank all of you for being here. I mean, when I walked up and saw this crowd, it was a great reaffirmation of not just the importance of what Governor Winant stood for, what he did, his actions, but the fact that for a gentleman who is known for really flying under the radar and all the great things he did, the recognition I think that we're finally owing to not just this man, but his family and their service to the state, I think is wonderful. You know, he has been described by many as the most famous Granite Stater that nobody knows. And finally, we get to give him and his family their rightful due. I've had the honor of sitting in that corner office and watching this memorial being built. And it's a memorial that just didn't happen on accident. It took a lot of work by a lot of individuals. Van McLeod, of course, who I think is a friend to most everyone in this audience, he's really the one I think we owe a lot of the thanks to, and what he did before his passing in terms of spearheading this, making sure not just the man, but the ability to memorialize him really came to fruition. I also want to thank Lynn Olson, who wrote the book, Citizens of London, who I think really got a lot of us understanding it. I did not know, and I think I can speak for a lot of us, who really did not know a lot about Governor Wynant until we had the ability to read that book and then hear the four-hour lectures from the Secretary of State in the corner office about all the details that weren't included in the book but were so important in his life. Thank you, Bill Gardner. And it was a miracle we got out in 4 hours with those conversations. And obviously, as Representative Shurtleff, who is up here kind of emceeing this, but make no mistake, is one of the key folks responsible. So thank you, Representative Shurtleff. You know, and I want to take a moment and highlight a few things that I had not realized. I've been told, and I believe this is true, that Governor Wynant was responsible for the creation of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, which I find fascinating because I think that's just an awesome group providing a lot of the humanities work and the craftsmen expert, not just expertise, but it's part of what we are in New Hampshire. It's part of our culture. It's part of our economy in driving that, and he was responsible for creating that, the Liquor Commission. And I did not realize he was responsible for purchasing the land of the Old Man of the Mountain. That the old man sits on today. So again, under the radar stuff, but when you think about the importance of some of those actions in terms of what they've meant for our culture within the state, it's really incredible. And that's even before he took his first steps over into London and I think did so much for so many people. And you know, the other issue I'd like to bring up, the honor I have of sitting in that office right up there, I look down here and I see a lot of you sitting. That's the wall that so many folks during the Depression would sit on. A lot of the young men who had no job, had no place to go. At the time, I believe the Concord police station would actually open their cells to allow some of those individuals to sleep in the cells at night because they had no place to go. And this is the wall that the governor would walk by every morning and became just quite famous for handing out his 50-cent pieces to those who just had nothing. And let me tell you, Governor Wynant didn't have a whole lot either. I mean, he was a guy who had very little, giving everything he had to the individuals who really represented the state. I mean, that's just what he was. He understood the value of the state, the quality of the state was in its people. And that's what he stood for, to making sure he could provide every opportunity for those individuals. And we do hear about what he did over in London, and it is wonderful to have the Consulate General from Great Britain with us today. Thank you, Harriet. It's always great to see her and partake. People don't realize it wasn't just some advocacy that John Wynant gave over with Winston Churchill. There is no doubt the war would not have come to the end it came to without his efforts. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and a lot of the folks who really led the charge here in the United States deserve a lot of credit. But I got to tell you, Governor Wynant is right up there with him in terms of bringing the war to the close that it did, maintaining America's relationship with our greatest ally overseas, Great Britain, and making sure that, again, we brought those individuals home after caring so deeply for the families in the streets of London during the Blitzkrieg. So I guess I would just wrap up and just say it's an absolute honor to be here with you today. It's an honor to recognize someone who frankly is just a true son of the state of New Hampshire and represented everything we know and believe in as part of that live free or die spirit. Thank you guys very much.
I think the most productive years in John Wynant's life were his years as ambassador to the United Kingdom in the court of St. James. Governor Wynant and Dwight Eisenhower, the then general of Allied Forces and future president, were the only two Americans to ever receive the honorary knighthood of the Order of Merit from King George. So we're very pleased to have with us this morning the representative of Her Britannic Majesty Elizabeth II, the Consul General from Boston, the Honorable Harriet Cross. Consul General.
Good morning, everybody. Firstly, thank you to Governor Sununu for your remarks. And thank you for inviting me to speak on behalf of the British government and on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen. It's no surprise that New Hampshire produced a man like John Wynant, a soldier, a senator, a governor, and an ambassador. He lived an extraordinary life in extraordinary times. As we've heard, life took him to London in our darkest, hardest hour. It was the height of the Blitz when German air raids leveled a million homes and killed 40,000 people. But Wynant came anyway, declaring on the tarmac, and I quote, "There is no place I'd rather be at this time than in England." Now, London and Manchester have suffered terribly in recent months. And they've already stood up taller and stronger, and in part due to the fantastic support that we've received from our friends in the United States over the last few months. So I thank you all for that. It's really important. Thank you. We've heard from the governor about Lynn Olson, author of the book Citizens of London. She said that Wynant would walk the streets and ask Londoners how he could help, and I'm quoting from the book now, "His warmth and his compassion and his determination to stand with them and share their dangers was the first tangible sign for the British that America and its people really cared what happened to them. And so he became a symbol of the best side of America." And that's what we're celebrating here today. Now, absolutely, yes. So Churchill went on to call that spirit of friendship the special relationship. And the notion may well have originated with John Wynant, who secured, again, as we've heard, wartime support for the UK long before Pearl Harbor. With his help, with your help, we turned back the Blitz and together we won the war. And again, we cannot thank you enough for that. And this much later on, we're still thanking you, and that friendship still stands strong. Now, the special relationship has become so much more since then. Today, for example, the UK ranks as New Hampshire's third largest global export market. We trade in goods and services worth more than $400 million a year. And John Wynant laid the foundation for all of that relationship. He brought our countries closer together, even as the world around us was falling apart during that time. And he reminded us that the US and the UK remain indispensable partners for peace and progress around the world. And I think he, and I hope his family, will be very proud to know that that still rings true today. So let me close with his own words that are immortalized on his gravestone here in Concord. And I'm quoting now. "Doing the day's work, day by day, doing a little, adding a little, broadening our bases, wanting not only for ourselves, but for others also, a fairer chance for all people everywhere." This is a noble vision from a noble man, and I am very proud to be part of what you're doing here today in commemorating the life of John Wynant. Thank you very much. Thank you.
There's one place that always brought great peace and tranquility to Governor Wynant from his early schoolboy days until some of the last days of his life, and that was walking the grounds of St. Paul's School. During this whole project to raise funds for the memorial to honor Governor Wynant, St. Paul's School and its rector, Mike Hirschfeld, has been so supportive every step of the way. And it is with great honor that I introduce now the rector of St. Paul's School, Michael Hirschfeld. Rector.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Governor, and thank you, Council General. It is truly an honor to be with all of you this morning on this very special celebration of the remarkable life and work of John Gilbert Winant. It is a particular honor to be sharing this moment with so many of the Winant family. Thank you for being here. And you'll hear some themes of gratitude emerging. Thank you also to the Winant Committee, particularly for the inspired, truly inspired leadership of Steve Shurtleff and the late Van McLeod, without whom none of us would be here today. Thank you. And another thanks to Lynn Olson, who captured the governor's life in words and in many ways resurrected John Winant as the hero he was. And finally, as we will see in just a few moments, thank you to Brett Grill for beautifully capturing his essence in bronze. Thank you all. The St. Paul School prayer reads in part, "Grant, O Lord, that in all the joys of life, we may never forget to be kind. Help us to be unselfish in friendship, thoughtful of those less happy than ourselves, and eager to bear the burdens of others." St. Paul's School has no claim on John Winant other than the simple fact that his parents thought it was a good idea for he and his brothers to be educated at St. Paul's School just after the turn of the 20th century, a decision that thankfully led to his lifelong devotion to the state of New Hampshire and all of its people. It's impossible to know if John Winant possessed the values expressed in the school prayer prior to his arrival at the school as a young boy, or if he learned those values while he was a student there. What we can say, though, with absolute certainty, is that he spent his life living those values, being unselfish in friendship and eager to bear the burdens of others. Governor Winant lived those values in some of civilization's darkest hours, when it appeared that the very threads of the fabric of our shared humanity would not hold. Dark hours he spent on these very streets and those in London. We have learned today of the many, many of the actions that would qualify John Gilbert Winant as a hero. For me, in this particular moment in history, John Winant's heroism is made most extraordinary by his humility. Imagine, if you can, that he is here with us right now, uncomfortably listening to us recount his good deeds. In my mind's eye, I can see him shuffling uneasily and awkwardly looking down at his feet, embarrassed by our praise. I believe Governor Winant would be more comfortable, much more comfortable, if we understood his life as a call to action today, a call to serve others as engaged citizens. In fact, as the Council General just reminded us, his last words inscribed on his gravestone not far from here, provide us with instructions to improve the human condition. I'll conclude with these instructions. They'll be very familiar to you. Doing the day's work day by day, doing a little, adding a little, broadening our bases, not wanting for ourselves, but for others also. A fairer chance for all people everywhere. Forever moving forward, always remembering that it's in the things of the spirit that in the end prevail, that caring counts, and that where there is no vision, the people perish. That hope and faith count, and that without charity, there can be nothing good. That having dared to live dangerously and in believing in the inherent goodness of man, we can stride forward into the unknown with growing confidence.
We are so honored to have with us today many members of the Wynette family, and I'm so glad now to be able to call upon Joan O'Meara Wynette, the wife of the late Rivington Wynette, Governor Wynette's younger son, and Dr. John Wynette, Governor Wynette's grandson. We are very honored to have them here to represent the Wynette family and to actually do the unveiling.
Doctor, if you would like to say a few words.
Good morning. I have often questioned where I acquired my aversion for public oration. I now realize that this aversion is the one and only quality I inherited from my grandfather. I certainly want to sincerely thank the citizens of New Hampshire, the many contributors who have made Wynette Plaza a reality, and the support from St. Paul School, led by Rector Michael Hirschfeld. And I also wish to thank the Wynette Memorial Committee for their leadership and guidance, and especially Steve Shurtleff, who chaired the committee. Steve, your dedication and perseverance are truly exemplary. Thank you very, very much. Just a brief comment. In approximately 2005, I will always remember my secretary coming to me between patients to tell me that a lady from Washington, D.C. had called wanting to speak to me about my grandfather. Because I was born more than a year after my grandfather's passing, and therefore never had an opportunity to know him, I hesitatingly took her call and suggested that she might glean more information from my grandfather's last living son, my Uncle Riv, who at that time was in his mid-70s. Lynn Olson did call my uncle, who gave her access to my grandfather's letters held in FDR's library in Hyde Park. The result was Citizens of London. It is from reading Lynn's eloquently written account of my grandfather's career as a public servant in Citizens of London that I got to know the essence of my grandfather. Lynn was the first to unveil my grandfather's story. She has become an acclaimed World War II historian with several subsequent highly acclaimed books. So I also want to thank Lynn Olson, who provided me with a historic perspective of my grandfather, an opportunity that I never had. Again, I want to thank all of you for keeping my grandfather's legacy alive. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
I'll tell you a quick story. Several months ago, I had a call at the Democratic office in the State House, and they said, John Wynette is on the phone for you. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is funny. It was Dr. John Wynette calling from Princeton and talking about the memorial and everything else. And it's so nice to have finally met the Wynette family. And I'm so glad. I had a nice evening last night talking with Joan Wynette, and I am so glad that she is with us today.
Joan Wynette.
Thank you all so, so much. This is a very emotional, a very exciting time. When I think of all my trips to New Hampshire with Riv and where we often memorialized his beloved father, the Bible verse comes to mind. I will lift up mine eyes unto these hills, these granite hills, whence cometh my help. And I really, truly, truly, truly believe that John Wynette's strength and courage and my husband's strength and courage came from the beautiful, beautiful hills of New Hampshire that they treasured so much. Shortly before he died, my husband spoke at an event celebrating the 70th anniversary of the coming of Social Security. At that point, he ended his charming speech by saying, he was my hero when I was a boy, and he is still my hero today.
Mm-hmm. We in the city of Connecticut have such a great debt of gratitude to Joan and Rivington Winant, and with the assistance of St. Paul's School for giving us the 85-acre Winant Park, which is such a treasure to our city and enjoyed by so many. I would ask Brett Grill to help Dr. Winant and Joan Winant with the unveiling itself. Now I call upon our final speaker, and that is the sculptor, the wonderful artist that created this beautiful statue to Governor Winant, Brett Grill.
Brett. Thank you.
First of all, I need to thank the members of the committee that I worked with most closely. It's just been a pleasure to be here. I'd never been to New Hampshire before. And everybody that I've been around, I'm sure I will neglect a lot of people in my thanks. I'm sure there have been a lot of people working behind the scenes that I will not recognize. But I need to say thank you to Carrie Johnson, who's been my main contact person, Commissioner McLeod, and also Representative Shurtleff. Thank you very much. I can go through sort of the resume items of John Winant. I can mention the idea of the special relationship and mention the fact that we should always see the shadow of John Winant when we talk about the special relationship between Britain and the United States. That we should see the shadow of John Winant when we think about the Social Security Administration. But none of these things really do justice to who the man was. And as a sculptor, one of the things that I try to do is to find the aspects of the person that aren't conveyed with the bullet points, things that aren't just about being in the right place at the right time. I think if John Winant were up here right now, he would probably be speaking a little bit more like me, a little bit haltingly, and unlike the more polished speakers that preceded me. He was, by all accounts, not a great public speaker, but by all accounts, incredibly charismatic, magnetic when he was with people in small groups and individually. And I do think that this is sort of a metaphor for his whole life. When he was asked to look out over the top of people's heads and speak abstractly, it never quite made sense for him. But when he was in front of people, boots on the ground kind of interactions, this is when he was magic. So we have all of these wonderful anecdotes about who John Winant was on the ground, giving away 50-cent pieces, working with humility, with compassion, with empathy, walking around selflessly during the Blitz, giving of himself in ways that few people would. A model for how we should all act, whether we're politicians or leaders or just normal Joes on the street. So these are the kinds of things that I tried to incorporate into the sculpture as I was building it, thinking about his life. I think about the sculpture in some ways as a contrast to the other sculptures that are on the Capitol campus here. In some ways it seems like there should be a centralized air compressor that sort of inflates all the other sculptures on the campus. They sort of stand with their chests puffed out on pedestals. They're wonderful sculptures and they're relics of a time. when heroism was a particular thing. And now I think heroism means a little bit something different to us. And I hope that this sculpture can embody that. I hope he greets people in a way that John Winant greeted people as governor, not from the third floor corner office, but down on the streets with an incredible amount of empathy and compassion. Obviously, many of you know that John Winant's life ended, unfortunately. He took his own life. In thinking about this project when I started it, it was around the time when Robin Williams took his own life as well. And I got to think about the way that our culture reacted to Robin Williams and the way that that was different from the way that history sort of forgot John Winant, unfortunately, for a while. And I think that we've come a long way as a culture in thinking about mental illness, and that we should not be defined by our lowest and hopeless moments, but we should be defined by our best moments. So in putting this sculpture out here, I think we are returning John Winant, an incredible act. We're returning an act of empathy and compassion back to him, the same thing that he did to so many Britons and so many members of the New Hampshire and Concord community, in realizing that, again, we should be defined by our finest moments rather than our lowest moments. John Gilbert Winant.
Before I call on Bishop Hirschfeld for our benediction, let me just say, for those of us who served in Vietnam, there's a long tradition when one Vietnam veteran meets another for the first time to say to them, "Welcome home." I won't go into the deep personal meaning of those two simple words that mean so much to us who fought in the war so long ago and far away, but let me simply close by saying, John Winant, thank you for your service to our state, our country, and our nation. You served our country with such honor and distinction. John Winant, welcome home. And now let me ask the Right Reverend Robert Hirschfeld to give our benediction. Bishop.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God of creation, for the gifts of sculptors and artists, and especially Brett Grill. Artists and sculptors who adorn our public spaces with monuments which lead to the contemplation of inspiring figures from the past. May this monument to Governor Winant inspire us to deeper civility and to great acts of public service in the present and in the future. May our lives be so fashioned by a holy and life-giving spirit. And may that same spirit which moved Governor Winant move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, hatred cease, and that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice, freedom, and peace. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here. That concludes our dedication ceremony. Thank you all, and may God bless New Hampshire. Thank you.